I had to cut minutes out of that video clip. You would not believe how slow to catch on one man could be. Unless, of course, you were in our house the night that my eldest son told us that they were having a baby. And he did it in such a clever way. He'd made a bottle of beer from his local brewery, and he'd changed the label, and he'd put baby white expected, and the month that Isabel was expected, and it's her birthday next weekend. So I sat looking at this, and all I could think was, oh wow, they've named a beer after our family. So I have sympathy with that man, but it all comes down to this. There are moments in our lives, really significant moments, that are about to change everything. I'm willing to bet that all of you, I know I have, and I bet all of you have had a moment that you could look back to and you could recognise it as one of those moments when everything was about to change. It may be that it was the moment you said I do in a marriage service. It may be that you were in a job interview and you'd gone for a job that you didn't really think you were going to get and you really didn't want, and suddenly not only do they say, we're going to offer it to you, but you know straight away that you're going to take it. And it might be a complete departure from all that you've done before. It may be the moment that you decided that you were going to be baptized, or it may be the time when you were baptized. Well, this morning, as we continue to reflect on Easter and the resurrection, I want you to know that this is one such moment. This is a defining moment for you this morning. It's an important occasion. It's what you've been waiting for, and it all comes down to this. Graham is going to come and read to us from Luke's Gospel.
We are going to be reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, from verse 1 to 12. In the Church Bibles, it's on page 1061. That's page 1061, right-hand page. So it's the resurrection, Luke, chapter 24, starting at verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took their spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to be to them like nonsense. However, Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Graham, thank you very much. I want to say just two things this morning, but before I do, I just want to say something else. You see, it strikes me that there's a big if, the elephant in the room, the big if. If Jesus really was raised from the dead, what does that mean? If Jesus really was raised from the dead, what does that mean? And what would you do as a response to that fact, if you knew it to be an absolute fact? Now, there is a bit of a problem, because I can't take you to the empty tomb this morning and say, all right, for yourself. It's 2,000 years ago. But I do want you to think about the fact that you do believe in other people in history and the things that they've done, as though you weren't there. And you believe on the strength of people recording those activities. Now, you might say to me, well, all of the records of Jesus being raised from the dead have been written by Christians, so they've got a vested interest in saying that he was raised from the dead. That is true to some extent, but it's not the whole truth. There is a chap called Josephus who was a Jewish historian, and he wrote a book called The Antiquities of the Jews, and in that he records the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead and seen by over 500 people. He had no vested interest in recording that piece of history, but he did. So whilst you can sit there today and you can say, oh, well, I don't really believe it because it was a long time ago and I wasn't there and it's a bit fantastical, I accept that, but I would say to you, you need to do exactly the same as Nikita's dad and go and ask the questions for yourself and do some research. There's a guy, he's long dead now, I would think, a bloke called Frank Morrison, and he set out to disprove the resurrection of Jesus. He worked out that the only thing that Christians had that was different to everybody else was the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead. And that if he could disprove that one thing, the whole of the Christian faith would fall. And he wrote a book called Who Moved the Stone? And he goes through all the possible theories. And then at the end of it, he became a Christian because he found none of the stories, none of the other options held any water. Well, fast forward a few decades, and there was a guy who was a reporter on the Chicago Tribune, a crime reporter. And he set out to do the same thing. He had a mad wife who had become a born-again Christian and was driving him potty. And he thought, I'm going to go along to your church at Willow Creek in California, and I'm going to prove you wrong. And he's written a book called The Case for Faith, because he became a Christian. And he's now one of the teaching pastors at a big church. So, park all that, and now the two things I want to say to you about this momentous event. You see, when Jesus was raised from the dead, it had not happened in that way before. We all know the story of the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, and we know it as a story, and we know that it's changed the world. But it's the most important event that has ever occurred. And it's the most important story that has ever been told. You see, when Jesus was raised from the dead, good news, he died for your sin and mine, so we're forgiven. But that is nothing like all he did. You see, if you go back and read Genesis, you'll know that as a result of Adam and Eve, not just people get messed up, but the whole of creation. Anybody been out in the garden this weekend doing a bit of weeding? Do you know why you were in the garden weeding? Because of Adam and Eve. They've messed up gardening for everybody. It says in Genesis, doesn't it? That you're going to work hard and all that's going to grow is blooming weeds and thistles. That's what it says. And sometimes we dislocate what we know from the Bible from what we're doing in the garden, and we don't realise that the two actually belong together, because God is alive and so are we, and the Bible helps us make sense of this life that we're living, and the ramifications of what Adam and Eve did are all around us. Everything is broken and messed up because of what they did. We say, oh, we live in a fallen world. And quite often when we see that, we think about, oh, well, that's to do with the people who are alcoholics, and that's to do with the people who are drunks and the people who are criminals. No, it's not. It's to do with you, me. We're messed up. We're broken. The way Calvin put it, he said that, he's a theologian, old theologian from back in the Reformation days. The way he put it is that we are incapable of seeing God for who he is. Incapable, unless God does something to us. Because we're so broken by the fall that we will attribute the good things of God to all kinds of other people, beings, or events. Basically saying we are so broken. And you know what? I think I agree with that. I think I do. It's the most important event that ever occurred, because it didn't just get you and me forgiven. If that was all Jesus came to do, that would be a pretty poor thing, wouldn't it? But it says that God so loved the world that he sent his son. Jesus isn't just mending people. He is mending the universe that's been damaged. This is beyond just us. It's bigger than that. And in the light of that, his resurrection is the most important event in all of history. Because it is the point at which the damage to the world can be reversed. It shouldn't shock us that climate change is happening. It shouldn't shock us that things seem to get worse. Because if they didn't, there would be no need to redeem this world. If it was perfect and undamaged, there would be no need for Jesus to come. But he did come, and it says in Revelation that he will bring about the recreation. The recreation, not the creation, not from nothing. The recreation, the healing and restoring of the whole universe. New heavens, new earth. Most important event that ever occurred. It's totally unique. Everybody else that was raised from the dead, and there are people that are raised from the dead, Jesus kept doing it. He interfered with so many funerals, it becomes a bit monotonous. But all of the people that Jesus raised from the dead went on to die. But Jesus didn't. There are five major religions in the world: Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. They're the big five. There are lots of other ones, but a lot of those are offshoots of the ones that I've just named. But you know what is totally unique about Christianity? You see, four of those religions are based on historical figures. Buddhism is based on Buddha. Islam is based on Muhammad. Judaism is based on Abraham. Christianity is based on Jesus Christ. Abraham is still dead. Buddha is still dead. Muhammad is still dead. Jesus Christ is risen. That's the difference. And it's a trump card. They couldn't disprove it then, and no one's disproved it since. Listen to what the text says. Verses 1 to 8. I was meant to say that earlier. I'm going to jump over that. Ding. Here we go. 9 to 11. When they came back from the tomb, they told these things to 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of Jesus, and the others told them. They told this to the apostles, but they didn't believe the women because their words seemed to them, "No, I am in the right place. He's going to go back again. Here we are. Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" The tomb was empty. There was no body. And the way to shut the Christians up would have been to produce a body within the next few hours. And they didn't, they couldn't, they have never done so since. He's not here, he is risen. Remember how he told you. While he was still in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And he was, and he is. He's alive. Jesus isn't dead. And then in Luke 24, we're in, going over that verse, 5, look, why do you look for the living among the dead? Why? Why don't you believe the evidence of your eyes? Now, you're not there. That's not you being spoken to, is it? But somebody was, and it's been recorded for us. The second thing I want to say this morning is it's the most important thing that you will ever have to decide about. What you believe about the resurrection is the most important thing you will ever decide about. Because it changes everything. It changes everything. You see, if you believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead, it's a pain in the neck, isn't it? Because no longer can you dismiss him. If Jesus is just a good teacher, if he's just a good teacher, well, you can. There are loads of good teachers, aren't there? Let's face it, there are loads. There have been loads of really good teachers through history. If he's just a good teacher, you can dismiss him. And it doesn't matter. But if he's been raised from the dead, he's not just a good teacher. He's something else. And that something else, I believe, the Bible teaches that Jesus is God in human form. The eternal Word of God made flesh. And if that's who he is, and that's what he is, you're left with a problem. Because when you hear him, the resurrected Jesus, and we'll be talking about this next week, and when he says to Peter, the same words that he said to him when he first met him, and he says, "Follow me." When you hear those words, what do you do? Do you follow him, or do you turn away and say, "No, thank you"? It's the most important decision you will ever make. Whether or not you accept the resurrection of Jesus is the most important decision you'll ever make. And it changes everything. You see, once you've accepted that he's been raised from the dead, then you have to accept that he is Jesus Christ, the living God in human form. And then what do? You either obey him or you reject him. That's the two choices. I'm not a Christian because I slowly came to a belief. I'm not a Christian because I shifted everything. I'm a Christian because the night that I found out who Jesus was, I knew it in my heart that it was true, and I was terrified. Because I just spent 5 months around the Mediterranean blowing money in brothels. I'd stolen cars. I'd behaved like a complete animal. And he knew. He knew all of that about me. And it was as clear as the edge of the platform, the wooden line and crossing over it. It was like that, the most important decision I could ever make. But I knew at that moment that if I didn't make it, I was separating myself off from the only chance I had. The only chance. I didn't choose to be a Christian. There was nowhere else to run. Nowhere else to run. No one else had an umbrella that would stop what was about to fall on me from a great height. The two things about the resurrection that are important are it is an event in history that changes everything. And the second thing is what I believe, what you believe about it, changes everything for you. Changes everything for you. But on the good side, what it changes for you is that you will not die, but you will live forever. What it changes for you is you don't bear the burden of all the stuff you've done wrong, and some of it can be really bad, and you don't bear it. You step forward to receive your sentence, and Jesus' voice comes out over you and says, I'll pay for that one. He goes free. She goes free. General Wellington, commanding the victorious forces at the Great Battle of Waterloo. Oh, it's part of our history, isn't it? And on today of all days, when together with all of our brothers and sisters in Portugal, we celebrate one giant of a man who slayed a dragon, or fought a newt, or whatever he actually really did. But at Waterloo, he defeated Napoleon, old General Wellington. And the story has been told over and over. The battle was over. And Wellington sent the great news of this victory back to England. And we had a series. Do you know how we used to pass our messages? In the Navy we call it semaphore. I can still remember some of the alphabet. I don't know why a chef needs semaphore. I put a menu up. You know what we're going to eat. I don't have to do flags. But we used semaphore, and they had these things on top of hills that would be like the arms of a person with flags, and they'd move them into position. Unfortunately, we live in England, and it's sunny now, isn't it? Give it 10 minutes, and that's exactly what happened. And the message got lost in the fog. And this is what was sent. Wellington defeated Napoleon at Waterloo. What was received? Wellington defeated. Oh heck. Later the fog cleared and the full message was finished. A quite different outcome and quite a different response by the people that received it. Well, the same is true today. Many people look on what happened on Good Friday, the death of Christ, and they see Jesus is defeated. That's the first part of the message, and it's absolutely true. He bore our sins upon that cross. He took the punishment in full. There was no trickery. He really died. And they see defeat. But on Easter, at the resurrection, the rest of the message comes through. And he is raised to life. And he is victorious. And how you respond to that information today will make all the difference in the world to you. Let's just take a moment's quiet.